What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck?
Another episode?
It's another, because there was one last week, and hopefully there's going to be one next week.
I see where you're going. Okay.
Hey, see what I did there? Slick, huh? Jillian is off because it was the week of the 4th, so she is seeing relatives and shit like that. It's the 4th of July. She gets a fucking day off now and then, okay? So, I have got, as you can hear, Fister with me.
How you doing, guys?
You fisted anybody?
I went to a Jim Henson workshop recently. Stayed the whole day. It was a good time.
All right. Good for you. At least you didn't need to get lubed up for that.
No. I did anyway, but I didn't need to.
You just do that for fun, though, right?
It's really force of habit at this point.
It feels weird when you don't, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something not right about not lubing up. I don't care if it's a puppet or not.
We're actually going to forgo a separate dumbest thing this week because our main topic, I think, qualifies as this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
There's no way we could escape it this week, Charlie, could we? Racism is in the news again, isn't it?
Not only is it in the news again, but in the form of Paula Deen.
Not just her, but there's more. But yes, there's Paula Deen. Here's the thing. Now, people are going to say that the things I'm going to say on this show are defending Paula Deen, and they're not. I am not defending her, what she said, or her attitudes. In fact, I think she is in early stages of Alzheimer's-related dementia. Plus the fact that she, you know, eats sticks of butter.
And even before we even get into the whole controversy that recently cropped up, going back a few months into late 2012, one thing that really just sort of captured my imagination about Paula Deen when it was discovered that she had type 2 diabetes. There's nothing wrong with that in itself, but she's built an empire and a career out of perpetuating diabetes more than anything else ever could. I just think it's fucked up that someone can suffer from a disease and still profit from it, which is what she's doing. I mean, you can get around some of the finer points of it, but she is profiting off of fattening food, which gives people diabetes. That just always bugged me. So when this recent N-word controversy came up, I was like, yep, that's about right.
Are you actually going to push out the whole show and keep saying N-word?
I'm going to say N-word for a reason, not because I don't want to offend anybody, but because I don't want to look like a Quentin Tarantino type who says it just to show his balls, you know what I'm saying?
I can agree with that, and I can see where you're coming from, but I refuse to say that. I refuse to go the N-word. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the word nigger. It is who you are saying it to and the intent as you are saying it. And I think if NWA... can have it in their name, for God's sake, but if Kanye West and Lil Wayne can make entire careers out of this, I don't see why Paula Deen saying it is such a controversy. To me, that's a double standard.
Well, there's a difference. I mean, it's true that the word nigger in and of itself does not do any damage. It's whether or not you say it with hate behind it, whether you put some stank on it, or if it's part of a lyric to a rap song. I mean, there is a difference there. The reason why I say the N-word instead of that is because as a white guy, I don't think it's my place to make that decision. Like, I don't think it's up to me to decide whether this is going to offend anybody. If it's a slur against black people, I think it's up to black people to say it or not say it, depending on how they feel about it. I just don't think I have any expertise in this field, so I'm not going to say it.
I can see what you're saying, but at the same time, a lot of the people that are bitching, oh my God, she said that word, are people that have Dr. Dre albums in their collection, that have Quentin Tarantino movies on their shelves. You don't think that's kind of a double standard? Oh, it's okay when Quentin puts it in a movie, but it's not okay when an old Southern woman says it. I think it's either not okay or it's okay. There's no degrees to this.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's okay for Quentin Tarantino to put it in his movies. I think that it's a choice that he made as a filmmaker to give his movies some kind of gritty realism or whatever it is he was going for. But, I mean, Reservoir Dogs is my favorite movie, but it drops N-bombs left and right, especially during that scene with Steve Buscemi, Michael Madsen, and Harvey Keitel. What bugs me is that, like, if I were making Reservoir Dogs and it were my choice, I would choose not to have that just based on my own personal views on it. Like, I don't like the word. I know it can be used positively, but I don't think it should be. I just don't think it should be used. I don't think any slurs should be used. I think people should just like stop bitching about it and stop like harping on all these things, even if it's like a bizarro world argument. If like back when Mark Twain put it in Huckleberry Finn every other page, people were saying, oh, you shouldn't put that in there. And now people are saying, well, I should be able to use that because of equality and because we're all equals and because I'm not trying to be offensive. I think there's a lot of entitlement on both sides of the argument, and that's a quality that I always just fucking hate.
Keeping that in mind, let's go back to Huck Finn. Look at how they were trying to expunge Nigger Jim and just change it to Slave Jim just last year, and pull all the Huck Finn editions out of schools and put in the new one that says Slave Jim. Isn't that, whether you agree with it or not, shitting all over a pretty well-established artistic work, all for the sake of, frankly, bullshit political correctness?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would call it. I don't think the word should be removed from copies of Huckleberry Finn that already exist. I don't think that's right. I don't think censorship of any kind is right. I just don't think that it should be this much of a controversy. I mean, it's true that there was a time when that word was used in a commonplace kind of context all the time. Most of us have become more enlightened since then, and we don't use that word anymore. And that's fine, but just leave that up to people to make their call on their own. Like let people figure that out for themselves. Don't fucking spoon feed it to them like that. I mean, years ago, I got the Looney Tunes, I believe it was the Gold Collection on DVD.
The one with Whoopi Goldberg as the on-screen host?
No, this one was later.
Okay.
This, I think you're talking about the Laserdisc.
No, because I've got them on DVD too with Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
The ones where she does a stand-up and explains why they left in these overtly racist-ass cartoons as a product of their time, and why Warner Brothers actually took the balls to not censor them. Is that the edition you're talking about?
Not that exact edition, because I've never seen that one. I would like to. I enjoy Whoopi Goldberg. There's nothing wrong with her. But the version I had just before, right after you hit play on the first disc, it was just a title card, just black and white. It was referring specifically to the Speedy Gonzales cartoons and how these were stereotypes that were commonly referred to, but whatever the bullshit legal wording was. But they just put up a disclaimer and they left the cartoons untouched, and that's what I think was the right thing to do.
And you know what? Sometimes, especially when it comes to these cartoons, you do have to put them in historical context. My wife and I were watching a G.I. Joe that I just can't believe this didn't get censored. I hats off to the Hub for not censoring this. It was a G.I. Joe episode where they were in like the Middle East for some reason, and a guy was wearing a turban, and Dusty went over to him and he goes,
"We seek twin brothers riding vehicles similar to ours.
There, to the south. They ride that way.
Our gratitude, Effendi.
Me and the camel jockey got a lot in common. He loves the desert, same as I do."
Holy shit!
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, in 1986, that was acceptable. In 2012, when my wife and I were watching this, we were like, how is that on a kids' network that's still left in? But I was proud that it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive balls for not taking that out. Because, like, 86 was what? Like, the Iran-Contra scandal with Oliver North?
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah. I mean, people were saying camel jockey all the time. And then it made a big comeback in, like, 1990, Operation Desert Storm. That was huge.
Right. But then you've got this weird dichotomy that I just can't get over the fact, like, gay people can say fag, but I can't call somebody a fag. Black people can call each other, "Hey, my nigga," I can't. Why are you upset at that, though?
Why does that matter? Like, why do you have to adopt the mindset of, like, well, I should be allowed to do this? If society at large says, you know, it would probably be offensive if you did this, then don't call a gay guy a fag. Call him an asshole. Call him a dickhead.
And I do that. But my point is, if it's okay for one group, I think it should be okay for all groups. And that segment is something else I want to talk about, so I'm not dropping this.
I disagree with that, though.
Fair enough.
The only reason I disagree with it is because, take the N-word. That is a slur against black people. In a non-racist society, which, I mean, given all this shit that we're talking about tonight, I think by and large we are mostly a non-racist society. I think in 2013...
I'll fight you on that.
I know. There's a lot of evidence to the contrary. I'm not going to deny that. But I think that in a modern society, it should be up to that group to do whatever they want with that word. Sometimes some people don't say it at all. Some people take the sting out of it, use it in a song. Some people use it like every day. It's like how in my, let's see here, I'm trying to think how I should put this without it being too weird. In my early 20s, I was in and out of a psychiatric hospital for a little while. I still live in Pueblo, Colorado. It's a very small town. Sometimes I'll see people that I was in that hospital with. And, like, we'll go up to each other and say, am I crazy or is it hot in here? Shit like that. And it's taking something that is used to detriment you and taking the sting out of it. Now, if someone who has never been in a psychiatric hospital said that in a joking way, like I do, I wouldn't get offended, but I would just say that's not cool. Like, you don't...
But okay,
like, you're not in on this particular joke. It's offensive coming from you, so you probably just shouldn't do that.
Like, look at the Paula Deen thing. Why is she losing her entire career, everything she ever had, for doing the same thing that Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck continue to get rich off of?
Well, because Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh are hired by news organizations for the explicit purpose of stirring up controversy. Like, it usually doesn't work, at least probably not the way they wanted it to. But that's their job. Paula Deen's job is to fucking sell cookbooks and whatever bullshit frozen cuisine she does. And that is bad for business in that kind of context. Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, that's what they do. Like, that's their purpose, to stir up, most times, racist hatred. That's not Paula Deen's job.
Then what about, this came down this week, the Trayvon Martin, or the George Zimmerman, technically, case is going to trial. And staying on the same topic, his girlfriend, Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, who is black, got up there and got to remember, this case is surrounded by George Zimmerman's a racist, George Zimmerman's a racist, George Zimmerman's a racist, that Trayvon Martin is the victim of racist hate. And it turns out that, well, he didn't like white people any more than white people seemed to like him. And then his girlfriend even outright said that her calling a white guy a cracker is not racist, but a white guy calling her a nigger is. How the fuck does that work?
Well, there's a number of reasons why that work, as far as I'm concerned. First of all, the word cracker is hilarious. I've been called a cracker many times. I used to live in Nashville. I would take road trips all the time. I've been called cracker a bunch, and it's always made me giggle because it's hilarious. Like, I'm sure if Nabisco marketed like some kind of delicious treat called a nigger, it would be just as funny. Second of all, I think because it's white people that kept black people enslaved for so long, that I think there's more leeway if a black person is going to use the word cracker. I think there should be more leeway because, I mean, white people are dicks when you think about it.
White people are dicks, and
by and large,
white people have done most of the damage, but I'm not making an excuse for slavery at all. Slavery is probably the darkest part of American history, hands down. The slaves were sold to us by black people. So don't they get to take some blame too?
Well, yeah, they get to take some blame, but it was America who said, well, okay, here come the slaves. Let's treat them like slaves. And then that became, you know, slave and black became synonymous for a long time in America.
And I think that's wrong because
a certain way.
Yeah, the whole fact that even the founders of the Constitution basically said black people are not, you know, they're not like a real person, right? That is such monumental bullshit.
You're talking about the Supreme Court case with Dred Scott, where he was actually fighting for his own freedom, and the official Supreme Court ruling was that he is not a man but property.
That is just sickening. I mean, slavery is, like I said, someone's going to twist my words and say I'm trying to say blacks should take responsibility for slavery. No, what I'm just saying is it's not just, oh, those evil white people. You know, there are other factors involved, too. The evil white people, just 95% of it.
I know. And I know there are more factors at play than evil white people. You can't deny that's not a valid point. I mean, yes, we were sold slaves by people in Africa who raised slaves and sold them as slaves. They are just as culpable. But it was America's decision once the slaves got here to treat them as property.
Which is bullshit. But then there's also another weird aspect of the whole cracker thing. Now, here's where I say cracker, at least to the general consensus, is considered a racial slur. Numerous networks, Charlie, were beeping it out when she said it the same way they beep out nigger.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not. Some
cracker
of the news channels, they bleeped out cracker. So that tells me that at least a large enough faction of society does believe that cracker is a racial slur. And I believe it is the white guy equivalent of nigger. I don't think that a black guy should be able to run around saying cracker. And I also want to point out, George Zimmerman's not a cracker. He's half Latino and he's Jewish. Kind of not cracker there, is it?
No, that's not exactly cracker. When I hear cracker, I think like...
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy, exactly. Crack-ass cracker like you would not believe. That's what I think of when I hear the word cracker. But my third point was, apart from bleeping it, which I'm going to have to look up on YouTube as soon as we're done with this, because I don't even know what it would sound like to have the word cracker bleeped. Apart from that, like, I'm seeing all these editorials, like a bunch of people have been putting them on Facebook and whatnot, you know, side by side. Paula Deen did this. Trayvon Martin's girlfriend did this. And on, like, the memes or whatever it was that, like, whatever the image was, the word cracker was typed out. And over on the Paula Deen side, it said the N-word. Now, when you're looking at two words and you won't even say one of them, that proves that one is worse than the other, doesn't it?
No, I think only the perception that one is worse than the other. I do not believe, I'm going to come back to this, that words have any more power than what you allow them to have. If you get offended at cracker, if you get offended at nigger, if you get offended at faggot or camel jockey or heeb or dago or anything else, then you are giving the power to the person saying it. You are giving them power over you. The word does not have power. And you are empowering that word when it should not be.
That's a good point. I would say I agree with that.
So to me...
I don't know. Just what bugs me about the whole thing is that I think there should be more leeway if a black person is saying cracker than there should be if a white person is saying nigger. Because white people have not earned the right to use a slur the way black people have. Call that liberal, call it bleeding heart, call it whatever you want, but it's true. White people have not been through anything worse than the Banana Republic going out of business. They've not been through anything worse than fucking Hootie and the Blowfish breaking up.
But this week, with Paula Deen and Rachel Gentile testifying and all this shit coming back up, and this being big news, I mean, every place was talking about race in some way, shape, or form. I think I will argue with you to the death that racism is still very much alive and well. It goes both ways.
It does go both ways. And I'm not going to say that there's no more racist people. I'm just saying that as a society, we're a lot better off than we were a long time ago, like 50 years ago. There are more people that are not racist than there are that are.
Probably, but then you've even got some of our most prominent, in quotes, civil rights leaders, and I am for civil rights, straight across the board, okay? I despise Al Sharpton. He outright hates white people, he hates Latinos, he hates gays, he hates Asians. How does that make him a civil rights warrior?
But the man can wear a tracksuit. Give him that, at least.
He can wear a tracksuit, but in all seriousness, how is he a civil rights leader? How is he a civil rights warrior when all he's doing is fighting to make black people better than everyone else? Isn't he just as bad as shitheads like Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah. I mean, in that respect, I think he is. I don't think that anyone who hates a particular class or ethnicity people should come anywhere near having the balls to call themselves a civil rights leader. That's just insane.
I think no matter what your color, your race, your creed, your religion, I think if you really take the time to get to know somebody, you can find a ton of other reasons to hate them.
Good reasons. The only race I have a problem with is the human race.
Unfortunately, we're part of that. I'm a self-loathing human. So, Charlie, you and I kind of disagree. Like, I don't think Paula Deen should be losing everything over this while someone like Rush Limbaugh is profiting. But at the same time, she was an idiot. She was planning a fucking plantation-themed wedding. And yeah, Basically wanted all the servers to dress like lawn jockeys. I'm sorry, that's some racism right there, no matter what she actually said word-wise, isn't it?
Yeah, that's way more racism of deed than it is of word. And I think she should lose everything because I think she fucking deserves to lose everything. Anyone who's going to act racist and use that in their business to profit, and even considering the diabetes thing that I mentioned earlier, I think she should lose everything because she is a fucking horrible waste of a human being.
I'll give you that, but I just find it ironic that the same people that are calling her a racist have gangsta rap albums, and they think Quentin Tarantino is best director, best writer, best picture winner, because his movie was so down to earth, even though, you know, it's written by a white guy and is mostly white people saying nigger 400 times in a 2-hour time span. That, you people have your priorities a little fucked up.
Just here, I'm not wasting a moment. Just here, I'm not wasting a moment. Well, something's telling me where I should go. Well, there's an apple upon my shoulder, and I'm one trying to wiggle out. A trespasser faces me not. Well, I'm a seeker of truth. No limitations. There's a dark side to everyone. Even when the moon is new, a rainy moment seems to pass. The only thing left is what they think of you.
Folks, welcome to another motherfucking episode of Heart Attack Sandwiched in the Middle of a What the Fuck. That's right, I'm Hart D. Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley. And this is where we say fucking get a little bit fucking rowdy, because you're not going to control the words on this show. We do.
Technically, I do. I have the
control freak.
I have the editing power, so technically I do.
Oh, you little fucking Hitler motherfucker. You're going to love this then. The State Department Bureau has spent $630,000 on Facebook likes. Yeah, silence. You heard Josh like, what?
Well,
yeah.
I'm trying to formulate a response.
I know, I'm talking over here, but I just can't. I'm going to stutter for a minute, and I'm going to get it out, and I'll let you reply, Josh. I just can't understand where, in the budget, when they're cutting people off of food stamps, they're cutting old people off of their Medicare, they're throwing mentally ill people out into the streets in Illinois, but they're going to spend over $500,000 so that their government watchdog agencies get more likes. They were trying to buy fans in the social media. That's our tax dollars at work, guys. We did that. We paid for that.
I got to ask, how does, I mean, like, were they paying people, like, all of a sudden they would pay you to like their page, or were they just creating fake pages that would like, I don't understand the process here.
They were spending money to increase their, quote, likes count between 2011 and March 2013. The critics call that buying fans because they were spending money on Facebook ad campaigns to increase their likes so their bosses would think that maybe people actually gave a fuck about all the dirty, fucked up shit they're doing. You get it? They didn't really know what to do with social media. So some brilliant jackass in the State Department thought, I know, we'll spend a lot of money and get a lot of likes. People don't like the government. We'll just show, oh no, we're going to game the system. We're really liked. Why is American tax dollars being spent to buy likes on Facebook? No, seriously, I fucking want to know. How come I'm looking at this article here and this is a great website, by the way. It's the WashingtonExaminer.com. Folks, check it out. WashingtonExaminer.com. They have a lot of interesting stuff about U.S. government hacking, immigration reform, all kinds of crazy fucked up shit they're doing. And I can't even get past this. And so I don't know. Josh, tell me.
Okay. First of all, who gives a fuck if you've got likes or not? Seriously, does that affect your image? I don't understand why this would be necessary. And two, if they're spending all this money, why can't I get some of it?
Because you're a martyr son of a bitch and you prefer to hang on the cross than actually get some of that money, Josh. Just my own personal observation, fucker.
Fair enough.
Well, this is a deal where, you know, people seem to think that like it matters, and it doesn't. This other thing we're going to talk about, you know, I brought that up because it's kind of funny, but this isn't funny. In the same government that is spending money so that people like them more, we declared that hacking was an act of war. Okay, the U.S. government made a big deal out of this. In 2011, the Pentagon released its first formal cyber strategy, which called computer hacking from other nations an act of war. That's in the Wall Street Journal, guys. After Edward Snowden comes out and some of the other whistleblowers, we find out that the U.S. government has been hacking all its allies. So according to their own declaration in the Pentagon, we have been declaring an act of war on our allies. All of our allies in Europe, our allies in South America, and now they're a little upset. They're a little upset. They don't trust us anymore. Well, no fucking shit. We're bugging everything. How the fuck can you have a negotiation if your private conversations are being bugged?
But see, that's the problem. The attitude that the U.S., if we can personify it as such, is it's okay when we do it, but we are going to fuck your shit up if you do it back to us.
Dude, that sounds like my mom when she was fucking really off her shit and I was a kid and she was getting divorced from my dad. And she's like, don't you do what I say. You do what I say when I want you to do it. And don't you question me. Da, 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 da. And it was like this insanity, you know, of the rules would change every other day. And that's what's going on here. You know, so the Pentagon declares that anyone fucking hacks America, any motherfucker who hacks in America is an act of war. We've been hacking them. We've been hacking China. We've been hacking our allies. And seriously, the EU, the European Union, they're very upset. We're supposed to have these big trade meetings coming up, and they're furious. They're furious because guess what, guys? We, the U.S. government, well, we hacked the EU offices. Was that an act of war? Was that an act of war? It sounds more and more like this crazy thing where it's a crime if a regular person does it. But if Walgreens, a corporation, does it, they just pay a fine. It sounds like something if, you know, I went in and I stole your house, Josh, I'd go to jail for it. But if I was JP Morgan Chase and I stole that house with paperwork, then I just pay a fine. You know, there's a great quote about crime, guys, that says that you could steal more with a pen and a pencil than you could ever steal with a fucking gun. And we're seeing it happen right in front of us.
We are.
It is. It is happening more and more. You know, we know that JP Morgan Chase, well, guess what? They're part of other banks that were stealing people's homes. They were using their paperwork and their power to fraudulently rush people through their
their mortgage collapse, and they were illegally going through and seizing people's homes. They were gang busting the system, and it's happening again and again and again. Josh, dude, what the fuck do we say about this?
The way I like to put it, the moment you stop standing up and the moment you let them get away with this is the moment that you stopped caring about what freedom actually meant, that you stopped caring about what the ideals of America, at least on paper, were supposed to mean. And unfortunately, that apathy is spreading its wings larger and larger through America. They keep you placated with the Real Housewives of Slut County. They keep you placated with worrying what Kim Kardashian's going to name her stupid, retarded child. They keep you placated with the dumb shit. Hey, look over here, shiny keys, shiny keys, shiny keys. All the while they're pickpocketing you and planting evidence on you.
I'm going to tell you something, guys, listeners. I know there's a lot of young kids out there listening. I know there's a lot of young people listening to this show and listening to Heart Attack. Because if you didn't know it, Heart Attack's on iTunes. It's its own full 1 hour show. But I still love doing this stuff with Josh on What the Fuck. I feel like we're one big happy family at Jackalope Radio. You can turn the tide. I know I sound like I'm losing my fucking mind up here, but you can turn the tide. You can turn the tide. If you want to find us online, you know, me and Josh, we're on Facebook. You can find us. You can check us out. If you want to find episodes of Heart Attack, go to 1201beyond.com. Find old episodes of Heart Attack. You can find episodes of What the Fuck, Josh's other great shows. And hey, you can find me on Twitter too. And you know what? I'm on there. I've been getting on there a little bit more lately, just blowing off steam, talking about what I'm doing. You can find me at @Hart_Fisher. Find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. And otherwise, you need to get fucking involved in your governance, man. Go get involved in your local neighborhood city council. Go get elected to the PTA. Go get involved in the governance of the school. Go get involved in what's happening in your backyard, because that's where it fucking starts.
Owned and operated by legendary horror creator Hart D. Fisher, American Horrors is the world's greatest uncut horror channel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, American Horrors brings you nothing but the bloody best in uncut horror. Watch free, worldwide, only at filmon.com. This July, on American Horrors, catch new Bleeding Edge Horror by Tony Natoli, Annette Martinez, Johnny Dickey, Patrick O'Bell, plus new episodes of Gut Munching Zombie Series 813, and the best damn horror movie review show, Fright Asylum. Watch American Horrors now on filmon.com.
To die.
right, Charlie, so since we spent the whole last segment talking about racism, we might as well just go for the gold. Let's talk gay marriage.
Ah, the Triple Crown. Let's do it.
All right, so DOMA was defeated this last week. For those that don't know, that's the Defense of Marriage Act, which basically kind of, sort of outlawed gay marriage. The way they worded it, it was kind of confusing because I've always found it ironic that the same people that are going, "We must defend the sanctity of marriage," are on their third wife.
Having gotten married in a fucking drive-thru window in Las Vegas.
Yeah, to me, there's always been a hint of irony there.
Yeah, I mean, once Pamela Anderson marries Tommy Lee and Kid Rock, there's no fucking sanctity of marriage left.
I don't know. I think even when you go Ozark style and you're in the same bloodline, there's no sanctity of marriage left. But then these are the same people who are defending underage brides. They are defending arranged marriages. They are defending polygamist marriages. But good God, two girls? That cannot happen. That will destroy everything marriage means, won't it?
It's an affront to our Lord.
Oh, I heard that so much. And that just this last week, I've heard that so much. This is an affront to God. It's an affront to our Lord. Hey, guys, have you ever thought that maybe your God is not the same one other people follow?
Like, say you have two gay atheists who want to get married. What the fuck do you care?
Or gay Jews?
Right. Gay Buddhists. There's got to be some gay Buddhists.
I don't know. Isn't Buddhism kind of just gay, you know, inherently?
Well, the robes are kind of revealing. I'll give you that. And, I mean, Buddha himself is very overweight and bald. I mean, I've seen a lot of gay guys like that, usually in a Hawaiian shirt. And they're awesome to be around, by the way, especially on karaoke night.
But didn't you just have, I know you didn't officiate like as a priest, but you were there running karaoke for a gay wedding just this last weekend?
It was 2 weekends ago and I was officiating. I got ordained as a minister over the internet. Because,
oh, yeah. It's a good thing, you know, you put all that effort in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I can officiate weddings, me, fucking masturbating stoner comedian that I am, how much sanctity of marriage is there left?
Exactly.
But I did. I got ordained, and I officiated over a same-sex civil union here in Pueblo, Colorado. I was very happy to do it because the couple, friends of mine, Carla and Jackie, shout out to you guys, they've been together for over 20 years. And they've just been waiting for it to become legal. And the day the law was passed, this is early November, the Wednesday after the Tuesday elections, that's when Jackie proposed to Carla. They were waiting for it. How many fucking relationships between straight people fall apart over bullshit?
Absolutely.
How many couples have broken up because one is Team Edward and one is Team Jacob?
That one I really don't know, and I'd be a little afraid to find out about.
I'm sure it's happened. Because straight people are fucking stupid. Like, I don't know if gay people know this about straight people, but we will look for any excuse at all not to get married.
Yeah, and you people are fighting for the right to do something we don't want to do in the first place?
Yes,
come
you
on.
Had an ironclad excuse and you just fucking threw it away.
Yeah, hey, I can't. It's illegal. Sorry, baby.
I would have loved to have had that, but no.
And all of a sudden we hear his wife smack him in the back of the head.
I was born straight.
Let's look at this as more of a, and I really do believe this is a civil rights issue. What is the problem with letting two girls or two guys get married to one another? Not only does it not threaten your marriage as a straight person, or if you're a right-wing conservative, a pseudo-straight person, it also will actually help everything else. It will help the economy. It will create jobs, and get this, these people have the same rights as you, like Carla and Jackie. You said they've been together for like 20 years. Now
yeah.
They can legally, if one of them gets, say, in a car accident, power of attorney over medical decisions. One of them can leave their inheritance to somebody. One of them has the legal protections that come with being married.
Tax benefits.
There are lots of reasons that people, same-sex or otherwise, should be able to get married. Just because your God, which, by the way, there's really nothing in the Bible that actually says gay marriage is wrong. So this is a double entendre, but you people are pulling this out of your ass.
Yeah, they're using religion as a smokescreen for hatred. That's the only thing behind this. It's always been the only thing behind this. And just going back just a moment to what you were saying earlier, another benefit of same-sex marriage, you have a couple guaranteed never to have an accidental pregnancy. You are not going to have some woman flushing a baby down a toilet at prom if she's with another woman.
Charlie, so many straight people problems.
A lot of straight people problems, none of which would be a factor in a same-sex marriage.
And if people think that, oh, somehow two guys being married is somehow an affront to your marriage, then your marriage is not sitting on solid ground, is it? Because what the two guys down the street do, married or unmarried, is not really going to change whether they have the legal protection of marriage. This is just like you said, it is a smokescreen for hatred. And I am sick of this shit. Because the day after the Supreme Court struck down DOMA, there were already legal representation to try and get the marriages that were already being officiated annulled. There were people going, no, 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 we are appealing. While this appeal is in session, you cannot legally get married. Just back the fuck off.
Yes.
Why is this even an issue, really?
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Homophobia is the flip phone of societal hatred nowadays. There's nothing to be gained by it. Anyone who's against...
Are you making fun of the fact that I still have a flip phone?
Do you still have a flip phone?
I still have a flip phone.
Then yeah, maybe I am, because that's kind of funny.
Fucking prick.
How's your Tetris game going? Is it good?
Fuck you.
But nobody that's against gay marriage will be affected by gay marriage in any way. It has nothing to do with your marriage, has nothing to do with your job, has nothing to do with the way you live. It has nothing to do with you. The only reason people are against gay marriage, I'm sure I've said it many times before, and in fact, I've probably said it on this exact show, insane, biblically-based hatred is the only reason why you want to deny people their civil rights as human beings.
Okay, I know, I'm going to interrupt you on this. Why is it biblically-based hatred when it's not in the fucking Bible?
Something doesn't have to be in the Bible for somebody to believe that it is, and I think you know that's true.
That is true, which is kind of another sad side statement that all these people that are going, this is an affront to God himself, they actually don't take the time to actually flip through this rather dense tome to actually see that, wow, gays aren't actually even mentioned once in this fucking thing. Damn you, preacher, you misled me.
I think the Defense of Marriage Act would have been defeated a lot sooner if it had a different name. I think the people should be allowed to vote on the name, because what the Defense of Marriage Act should be called is the Defense of Marriages That Don't Make Me Think About My Own Gayness All the Time and How I Long to Have Smooth, Erect Cock in My Mouth.
You know what? I'm going to actually have to type that out later and see what that acronym would come out to.
That might work. That might work out to something.
That it's the name. Most people who vote on these kind of things, and I am not exaggerating here, they don't even know what they look, oh, it is the defense of marriage. Oh, they're defending marriage. These people don't even know what they're voting for half the time. They just read the title and go, well, that sounds like something I'd be for.
George Carlin talked about that a lot before he died. Our collective consciousness is being driven by spooky language. I mean, anti-abortion and, like, nuts are calling themselves pro-life activists, because if you're not pro-life, what must you be? Pro-death, which is not the case.
Exactly, but then that also brings up the case, like the deal these people that call themselves pro-lifers, they are not pro-life when they're willing to kill the abortion doctor. They're willing to kill an existing human being to stop the potential deaths of people as yet conceived.
Which are not really people yet.
No.
And in fact, let me drop this on you. If we have any pro-lifers listening to this show, first of all, why the fuck are you listening to this show?
I don't think I have a huge right-wing audience, Charlie, but okay.
I guess they're just propelled by hatred, which would make sense if they listen to you. But this is what all your pro-life activism has gotten us, okay? Kanye West had a baby with Kim Kardashian and named it Northwest.
Yeah, that was...
That's the best defense of abortion that I've ever heard.
You also have the fact that this is a polarizing issue. I mean, I have seen friendships end over this debate, and I don't understand it. That it does... At what point do you get it through your head? This does not affect you. This is not about you.
It's based on religion, because I've seen friendships end over this exact issue too. One in particular, one person is, I don't think he's an atheist, because we never talk about religion, because it tends to end friendships sometimes, but we never talk about religion, so I don't think he's an atheist, but I don't think he's really devout to any religion either. He's all in favor of gay marriage, because they're human beings. Every human being is entitled to their civil rights in this country. That's just the way it is. The woman that he was friends with until this came up was a devout Mormon. Now, I've not studied Mormonism because I can only get so far into it before I start giggling and I have to look away.
It's actually just this side of crazy when it comes to Scientology, really.
It's like just a couple notches below Scientology. That's what I've heard. So this may be ignorant because I don't know a lot about Mormonism, but she is against gay marriage, she said, because of her religion. And I don't think religions should fucking do that. People get indoctrinated into whatever their religion is. And if your religion doesn't like something, then you don't like something. It takes the thinking element out of it. Too many people do that, so too many people blindly support the Defense of Marriage Act, thinking, well, this is what my religion would want me to do. And that's all the thought they give it.
But there's also the fact that, don't you love how they always go to the most extreme, almost comic book villain type argument when they're trying to, well, now what's going to stop people from marrying horses? What's going to stop people from marrying dogs? Come on. I wouldn't have gone there if they didn't.
And
this
if people
was on
could...
Fox News. Well, then people can just start marrying the horses. If they're bestial relationships, then why not? Marriage doesn't mean anything anymore. Because, see, marriage used to be between a human and a human. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it also used to be like a family and a family in exchange for land and goats and shit. Okay, so marriage did not have a whole lot of sanctity to begin with. I mean, I remember
really,
when...
Really, it started out as a legal contract, really.
It was a legal contract between two tribes. Once a woman reached the marriable age, which I'm sure at one point was fucking 10.
I'm sure it's at parts of this country it still is.
I mean, as recently as the Amish, I'll say. Just, marriage has always been business between two families with mutual interests. Marriage did not have a whole lot of sanctity to begin with. There are people that get married because they genuinely love someone else enough to marry them. That's why I got married, Josh. I'm sure that's why you got married. Nobody should be denied that.
Well, sure, well, we'll go with that.
Unless you looked at a stick that she'd peed on and it turned blue.
You're not too far off.
But either way, that's also noble. Getting married to someone so that you can raise a child together, so that that child has a shot, at least has everything it needs to develop into a well-rounded person.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I think that's a good thing, and I don't think any of that should be denied someone just because they were born a certain way. Because homosexuality is the same as race, it's the same as religion, if the kid doesn't have any say in it. I mean, like most people, I was Catholic until I was 14, and then I just started looking at it, and I said, no, probably not.
I was Methodist until I reached the age of thought.
Yeah, the age of reason.
This is going to come across as a double entendre, and I swear I'm not trying to, okay, Charlie?
Okay.
One of the things that they're trying to do to stop gay marriage in some states is they're coming at it from behind.
I told you I didn't mean it to. Boom!
There are three different governors that are trying to get police to start enforcing the sodomy and oral sex laws that are already technically on the books. Therefore, making gay marriage, making homosexuality itself, and a lot of heterosexual acts actually, completely illegal in their state. They are so terrified of gay marriage being legal in my state, and there's nothing I can do about it. Let's just outlaw gays completely.
If I ain't getting no blowjobs, I don't see why they should. Eh.
Ross Perot?
Probably not Ross Perot. Ross Perot
That's
gets
the voice
mad
you just did.
It did sound a lot like Ross Perot, and I would just like to clarify that now. I don't mean any offense to Ross Perot. I'm sure he gets crazy blowjobs around the clock.
People are so scared. I actually think this is, and I don't mean a conspiracy in like an Alex Jones kind of way, okay? But a conspiracy that the right wing and the evangelical church they see how polarizing of an issue gay marriage is, and they see it as a way to fill the coffers.
Yeah.
That they keep stoking the fires, and the people are just going to keep getting more and more worked up. They're going to donate more money to their cause, especially with Citizens United. There's no limits anymore. So they're going to keep donating money. I think this is basically a giant Ponzi scheme, and gays are on the losing end of it.
I think you just described most religion in general. I mean, well, religion has always been about the money. Always.
Well, yeah. That's why the Catholic Church hides their pedophile priests, because otherwise it'll hurt the church, which will hurt attendance, which will hurt the coffers.
I mean, what other reason could there be? Because they did it anytime for like several years. I mean, how was it? How much was it? Like 50 years. Anytime an instance of a priest molesting a kid came up, they just transferred him to some distant parish up in fucking British Columbia or wherever.
Exactly. It's all about protecting. The organization is all about protecting itself. And I think that's the way the right wing is, particularly the Republican Party. I think the Republican Party, they saw gay marriage as the polarizing issue it was, and they jumped on it because they saw, I can use this to get reelected. I can use this to get votes. I can use this to get campaign contributions. Because how many of these Republicans that are so anti-gay marriage do we constantly find they really like boys?
Yeah, there's been a few.
There's been more than a few. That's why it's now a running joke that every time someone is so anti-gay marriage, it's, oh, secretly gay.
The
only option is secretly gay.
Unless they actually do have a wide stance.
All these things that are so polarizing aren't actually going to harm the country. In fact, I don't see how having more civil rights and actual equality when it comes to race, when it comes to sexual orientation, to sexual preference, gender, or anything, I don't see how that is a bad thing.
It's not. It's not a bad thing. And hatred is the only thing that is trying to make it into a bad thing.
On that note, let's go out to a funny segue. Where can we find Charlie the Fister McMullen?
You can find me fisting, as I am wont to do, on geekjuicemedia.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, if you like. Let's see here. If you live in the Pueblo, Colorado area, keep an eye on the Steel City Stand-Up Facebook page, and you'll find my next show, whenever that may be.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, Geek Juice Media, along with Charlie. And remember, guys, live nude geeks, Monday nights, 10:30 p.m. Central Time.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I actually wear pants.
Agree to disagree.
Right up, take my life and fuck it up. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.